Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Gimel. We're beginning today the fourth parak of the Masechta. So here we are now at a little bit of a turning point in the Masechta. So for the first three parakim, we talked about formulating and articulating a neder. First parak and second parak really spent a lot of time going over exactly what is the minimum words need to be uttered in order that represents a neder. How does one make a neder? Making a neder using a kinui, using a yad. Creating a neder via hatfasa. So those are all basic concepts and ideas that we cover in the first two parakim. In the third parak, so we talked about nedarim that are not nedarim. You made a neder and your articulation was perfect, but you had no intention to make a neder. So that really is the theme of the third parak of the Masechta. So nidrei zeruzim and other types of nedarim that are clearly not intended to become a neder. So they're not going to be nedarim. So in other words, in order for a neder to be neder, it has to be that piva libo shava. Both what you articulate and what you're thinking have to be the same. There has to be agreement between the articulation and what you're thinking. And if there is no agreement, so then it's not a neder. And that's the third parak, which obviously is a very difficult parak. In other words, it's trying to figure out what the person's thinking, but based on various contextual clues, so it gives us an idea, a sense of the person did not mean that. Good. And the parak went on that particular issue, gave us four different categories. And even after the four categories, give other examples as well, where the nedarim is simply not going to be a neder. And then, the end of the third parak, in terms of just finishing up regarding articulation, is that when making a neder, you follow Lashon B'nei Adam, right? That was the end of the third parak. And that is that the definition of words is based on what is currently spoken, the currently spoken word. And what you can't do is you can't give new interpretations to words if it goes against conventional understanding of what the word generally means. Adkan. That takes us to the first, second, and third parakim of the Masechta. And so today, Lamed Gimel, so we begin now the fourth parak. So over here, we're now going to be talking about the relationship between the Madir and the Mudar. Let's get our terminology down really well. The Madir is the one who creates the Isser. In other words, if I had it with my friend and I said that I want to now make him Usser to me, he's not going to be getting benefit from me. So I'm the Madir. I'm the one creating the Isser. Now, it can get complicated because I can create the issue where I'm not going to get benefit from him. Okay, fine. You could do that via neder as well. But let's just talk now in a nice, easy case and keep everything as simple as possible. And that is that the madir over here is making the neder and he's saying to the other person, you're not going to get benefit from me. Okay. And so I'm the madir and he now is the mudar. Okay, so he's the one now who's going to be prohibited. I'm creating the prohibition and he now is going to be prohibited. Okay, good. And by the way, you can go in both directions. In other words, I can make a neder against him, and then he can just simply reply and respond with, good, you're right, I'm usher to you, you're usher to me. Okay, good. And then, yeshar koach. And then, what a beautiful relationship, where no one can get benefit one from the other. Okay, good. So now, but let's go nice and easy and straightforward, and that is that I'm the madir, you're the mudar, and I make a neder now, you're not going to get benefit from me. And so now, from this point going forward, anytime if you were to get any hana from me, I would be in violation of my neder. Good. So in other words, so now that we've constructed this relationship where I'm the madir, you're the mudar, so you can't get benefit from me. And if you get benefit from me, so alternatively, I can't get benefit from you, whatever. Sorry. I said I was going to keep it simple. And meanwhile, it's complicated because it can go in either direction. But still, the madir now is bound by the neder. And so, therefore, if he gets any benefit from the mudar, so now it's going to be a violation of the neder. And what is the violation of the neder, Hana? Meaning that if you get any benefit from me, so at that point in time now, we're in violation. Over the course of this parak, what we're going to learn are exceptions. Meaning, when is it not Hana? Meaning, when is it that I'm going to be able to benefit him, and it won't be a violation of the neder? That's going to be basically the topic within our parak. Okay, so what we're going to learn is that really it cuts into what is going to be how the neder was articulated in terms of what is going to be within the parameters of Isser Hana. Also, over the course of this parak, fascinating, interesting, we're also going to be discussing, let's say, I am doing him a favor, but it also happens to be a mitzvah. So is that going to be a violation of my neder? Where now I'm A, doing him a favor, let's say, simple example, I'm returning a lost item. He lost an item, I'm returning a lost item, and so I pick it up and I give it back to him, right? That's it, right? You don't appreciate when somebody returns a lost item to you. I know So Baruch Hashem, I get to lose items because, you know, I'm human, and people return it to me, and I'm super appreciative of the fact. He did a mitzvah. If we had the relationship where he's the madar, I'm the mudar, so was there a violation of the neder under those circumstances? That's also going to be coming up over here in the fourth parak of the Masechta. So now we're going to be talking about the parameters of what and what isn't going to be usur in that relationship now between the madar and the mudar, and let's get underway. We're starting with the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So Ein Bein Mudar Namechaver LaMudar Hayman Amaychal. So let's say, well, let's put two nedarim side by side. Okay, one neder is a very generic neder, right? Where the Madir says, you're not going to get any benefit from me. Period. Done. End of discussion. That is Mudar Hanamechavero. So now the Madir constructs a neder in which he's saying, basically, that's it. No Hana. And let's take that neder and put it right alongside another neder, which is similar, but it's not the same. Mudar Hayman Maichal. So let's say the following, and that is that you're not eating from me. In other words, that's it. I'm so done with you, and that I'm making the neder that you're not going to be able to eat from me. Right? That's the constructed neder. So now that you take these two nedarim, put them side by side, is there going to be any practical differences between these two nedarim? So the Mishnah says yes. But it's going to be small. So the difference between them are going to be, number one, Drisus Aregel. Okay, let's say that I allow people to use my backyard as a shortcut. Okay, touchy issue. Right, Baruch Hashem happens in our community a lot because the way our community is constructed. So various backyards are very, shave minutes off the walk to shul. So can you use the backyard as a shortcut? So, good. So some people allow, some people don't allow. Good. So let's say it happens to be I'm the person that doesn't care, and I allow people to use my backyard as a shortcut. Good. So now, I'm generally speaking, I'm mevater. That's my general my general position, and everyone knows that my backyard is allowed for a shortcut. So now, everyone is walking through. What about the person now that I made a neder? Right, so I'm the madir, he's the mudar, he can't get hana from me, and now, can he use my backyard as a shortcut? So this is what's called drisus haregel. So is that going to be allowed? So the Mishnah says, well, that's going to be the difference between the constructed lashon of, you're not getting any hana from me, versus you're not going to get any hanas meichel from me. So if we're going to put those two nedarim side by side, in the former, that's going to be asur. In the latter, it's going to be mutter. Okay, and we'll try to explain why that is in just a moment. And on top of that also, let's say the guy comes over. Again, I made a neder against him. I'm the madir, he's a mudar. He can't get hana from me. And meanwhile, what he does is he says, look, can I borrow your rake? Okay. So in the former, where he says, I say you can't get any hana from me. So using my rake obviously is going to be hana. In other words, lending him an item. That's going to obviously be hana, so you can't do that. But if the neder is that you're not going to eat from me, okay, what does the rake have anything to do with eating? Nothing. So there, I can then if that's the lashon of the neder, so I can go ahead and lend them a rake. Hamudar meichel mechavero. Now, let's say in the second version of where Hamudar meichel, I told him you're not eating from me. So now lo yishilanu nafa v'kavirecham v'taner. So what I can't do is I can't lend him any cooking equipment. Now, cooking equipment is not food. However, as we all, I'm sure, figured out already, so it's not food, but you know what cooking equipment do? It leads to a good meal. So in other words, so I have my grill, okay? Got my little portable grill, which I happen to like. Okay? Now I'm getting personal. So so my neighbor asked me for it, and chas v'shalom, but I make a neder, and he can't get benefit from me. And I use the lashon of that you're not going to get any hanas meichel from me. So when I lend him the grill, so that now is going to be something that's going to lead to achila, yeah. And therefore the Mishnah says he can't do that. However, what I can do is I can lend him clothing. I can lend him rings. I can lend him articles of clothing. Let's leave it at that. So those are the things that I'm allowed to lend him. Because that is not Michael based. That has nothing to do with Michael. Okay, good. So in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that in the relationship between the Madir and the Mudir, where the Mudir is not allowed to get any hana from the Madir, so basically we're putting two cases side by side. Case number one is I make a general neder. You're not going to get any hana from me. as opposed to, I'm specific, a little bit more specific, and that is that you're not going to eat from me. So, and the Mishnah notes the subtle differences between what is going to be under the rubric of the neder that was made. The Gemara starts off the discussion. We're in the very bottom of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, starting with the Gemara. So, Mantana. So, so who's the author of our Mishnah? So in other words, in our Mishnah, what do we learn? That in the generic, the statement of you're not going to be getting hana from me, so what can't you do now? You can't walk through my backyard. This is what's called drisa sarego. Okay, so drisa sarego, does that qualify as hana? Okay. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because over the course of this perek, we're basically going to ask one question and keep trying to answer the one question again and again, and that is what qualifies as hana. What is hana? Okay, so, and it's hard, meaning, as we're going to be seeing right now, it's hard. In other words, obviously, there is a benefit for using somebody's backyard as a cut-through, obviously. In other words, it takes time away. So is the way it's going to be gauged is that it's a service I would have paid for, meaning if he didn't allow me to do this, would I have paid for it, and therefore it serves as hana? Okay, it's very hard to wrap our heads exactly in terms of what the correct and precise definition of hana is. And when I say it's hard, by the way, we're going to be in really good company because we're going to see that Tanaim are going to be arguing about this very question of what is and what isn't considered a hana. So over here, is it hana to use someone's backyard as a cut-through? Meaning, again, of course it's beneficial, but does it qualify? Is it qualify as a hana so that now, when he was madir, I'm the mudar, and I can't get hana from him, so can I use his backyard as a cut-through? And will it now hit the threshold of that's too much hana, and therefore would be a violation of the neder? So our Mishnah tells us the answer is yes. Meaning, again, in the case of Michael, no. But that's a limited neder. In the more expansive neder, it qualifies as a hana. So the Gemara says, Mantana, Amaravada, Bava, Rabbi Eliezer, Ditanya, Rabbi Lazar, Amar, Afilavita, Asur, Bimudarna. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, and here's what we're going to have to say. It's obviously the only way to interpret the Mishnah. And that is our Mishnah is going like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Ah. So what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? Vitor. Now, to be mivater, I'm sure, in other words, if you learn Musar, you're going to hear this idea all the time. What does it mean to be mivater? It means to let things go. Okay. In other words, we are, from a Musar standpoint, we are told and instructed that, you know what? Don't be so makbid. Let it go. Let things go. Right? Someone offended you. Someone slighted you. Be mivater. Okay. Someone took something from you. And, right, then you have no way of getting it back. Okay. Be mivater. In other words, from a Musar standpoint, we hear that all the time. So now what we're learning is the idea of Vitor and how it plays a role in Halacha. In other words, generally speaking, right, if you're the kind of person where you're allowing people to walk through your backyard, so obviously you're being Mevater, okay? Are you charging anyone else to walk through your backyard? No, you're not. So now this guy's walking through your backyard who you made a neder against. Okay, obviously it bothers you now that he's using your backyard, but we're putting the emotion aside. Is it a violation of the neder now that he's walking through your backyard? So if you ask our Mishnah said, yes, it's a violation. And what our Gemara is telling us is that our Mishnah is going according to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, because we're going to hear this now a number of times in our Perek, a couple of times today, and that is according to Rabbi Eliezer, Vitor is Usser, even though it's something that basically you let slide. And I know in this case you let it slide because you're letting other people use your backyard as a cut-through, and so you let it slide. But Rabbi Eliezer says, the question is not whether or not you're being mevater. The question is he getting benefit? And if the answer is yes, he's getting benefit, that's a qualifier. It qualifies as a non. Therefore, he's bound by the neder now that he can't use your backyard. So that and that's the author of our Mishnah. That the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, afilo vitor, aser b'mudar na. Even things that people normally let slide, that would be aser for a mudar na. So in our Mishnah, Mudar Michael Mechaver Lo Yishalenu. Okay, so Vaha Min Michael Neder. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm just now we're on to the next part of our Mishnah, and now we're just trying to wrap our head around the following. In our Mishnah, what do? We took two Nedar and we put them side by side. The general Neder of you're not getting any hana from me. Good. Including that is even my backer as a cut through. Good. We just established that's going like Rabbi Eliezer, Afilu Vitor Aser. Perfect. Now we're on to the next part of the Mishnah where my neder was a little bit more qualified. you're not going to be eating for me. So what can't I do? So the Mishnah says, so good. So you can't do food-related items. So what the Gemara is bothered by is food-related items. The neder's on food. It's not on food-related items. So why is it now that in the Mishnah, when it's a limited neder going only on food, so what can't I do? So I can't give him my grill, and I can't give him my oven. So what does that have to do with food? Meaning, we know what it has to do with food, but what does that have to do with the lashon of the neder? The lashon of the neder is going on food itself. So the Gemara says, "Vam and Michael Nader." That's the Gemara's question. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malekish, but Omer Hanas Ma'achalcha Alai. So what we're going to do is that we're talking about a case where now I'm a little bit unclear: is Reish Lakish editing the Mishnah, or is this our interpretation of the neder? Seems a little bit more like the latter than the former. But okay, I'm a little bit unclear about that. But anyway, either way, so Omer Hanas Ma'achalcha Alai, right? The benefit of food is what's going to be prohibited. Meaning it's not just the food, but anything that results in food as well. So, well, maybe the kavana was as follows. Maybe the kavana was is that you're not allowed to get hana from food. Meaning, right, back in the good old days, instead of bandages, what they used to do is the following. They used to chew a kernel of wheat. Take that now, right, that gummy kernel of wheat that's just been chewed, and they put it right in the maka, they put it right in the wound. And that was back in the good old days. That was the old-fashioned Band-Aid. And presumably it worked, right? The Gemara describes it all the time. Maybe what the intent of the neder was, when I said you're not going to get benefit from food from me, meaning not just food in the consumable, in the conventional consumed manner, but maybe food means just simply you're not going to get any kind of benefit from any food, even in the unconventional manner of using it like a Band-Aid. So the Gemara says, "Now I'm a Rava, v'omer hanas hamivia lide ma'achach alai." So again, I'm still not sure. Are we talking where we're editing the Mishnah, or this is how we're interpreting a sentence? But either way, what the correct interpretation says, Rava, is hana mivia lide ma'achach alai. Any hana that will lead to eating. In other words, what I don't want you to do is that I don't want anything for me to lead for you to have a better dinner. Okay. So in other words, if I give you food, obviously, that'll lead to a better dinner. If I give you my grill, that also will lead to a better dinner. Okay. So Amra Papa, Sagla Avi Peres V'chamer Lavi, Allah Peres V'afilu Tzana Ba'ama, Hana Mivile Demachu. So our Papa says, good. So now that we gave good definition, that when I make a neder against somebody, and I'm saying that you're not going to be eating from me, so including that is anything that leads to good eating. So our Papa says, so good. So now I'm just going to add more things to the list that's included in the neder. Basically, anything that's used to transport food, that's also now going to be included within the neder as well, right? A bag to bring in fruit and a donkey to bring in peros. So these are things now, they're just transportation items. But if they're transportation items, the items that typically transport food, so that is also going to be now included in the more defined neder of you're not going to get benefit from me of eating. So by Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says, good. Susler kovala v'tabas leros ba mahu mevsiko mazo ba'are. So Rav Papa says, good. So now I know what to include in the list of this more defined neder. But Rav Papa says, here's where I'm on the fence about. Okay, good. And by the way, pun intended. Here's what I'm on the fence about. And that is the following. Let's say, he's asking me for a horse. Okay. Now I know this is going to sound funny, but the way I'm presenting the Gemara is like the run. So he's asking me for a horse. Now what happens is the following, is that if he borrows my horse, what is he going to do? How is that going to help him regarding food? The donkey's transporting the food. The donkey's including the neder. So, but the horse is not there to transport food. You ride the horse, that's all. But the horse is not there to transport food. So what does a horse have to do with food? So the way the Ron understands is the following. And by the way, I'm just using horse as one example. The rings also over here, same question by the rings as well. So what happens is that when I pull up to my friend's house on a horse, so what is he going to do? He's going to now give me VIP treatment. In other words, it's basically going to be, I'm saying this b'derech hamashal, I'll be boarding the plane in seated first class, and I'm not going to be sitting coach. Okay? And you know what happens when you sit first class. Truth of the matter is, I don't know. But in other words, Baruch Hashem, you walk right through the first class as you go to your seat. So, you know, they give everybody a first-hand view of what it looks like to sit in first class. And that is that you're eating beautifully. In other words, you're going to be eating better. So over here now, if I lend you a horse, or if I lend you my ring, so what's going to happen now is that you're going to get VIP treatment. As such, you're going to get better eating. So what Rav Papa wants to know is that if I make the more defined neder of that you're not going to get benefit of food from me, and anything which leads to better eating, like a grill, or anything that transports the food is going to be included in the neder, what about those things which will give you more preferred seating at the table and will get you to better eating? Is that also going to be included as well? He gives the example of a horse, of rings, of mefzik umazo ba'ara. Basically a shortcut to get to the Beis HaMishnah. So over here, it's not so much VIP eating, but it will be that I will eat sooner. Okay. That's also a hana that's food related. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Papa asks the question, the Gemara is going to try and answer. So, Avamashalo, Chalof, Vitalis, Zamin, Vitabao, Sechidami. So you go back to our Mishnah. Meaning, what did our Mishnah say? That under the circumstances where you make this more defining neder, so what the Madir can give to the Mudar is basically articles of clothing. Okay, new? So it sounds like we answered Rav Papa's question. So, Hechidami, Ile, Mishalo, Leiros, Bahem, Tzrichal, Amemar. So I love afilu leros behem v'ketani mashilo. So now the Mishnah is talking about what kind of clothing, basic clothing or fancy clothing. I don't know. The Gemara says it sounds like the Mishnah doesn't discriminate between what kind of clothing can be lent. It sounds like even if the clothing is fancy clothing, and now what are you doing? You're showing off, and it's going to get you a better seat at the table. And yet the Mishnah says it's okay. And if that's true, now we've answered Rav Papa's question. Now the Gemara says lo lo'olam shelo leros. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Maybe we're just talking about regular clothing. And I did diktani lo yishilenu tanim b'seifa mashilo. So the Gemara says, and as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so the Mishnah is just looking for contrast, and the Mishnah has the standard symmetrical language between what you can and what you can't lend. But maybe the Mishnah is just not talking about flashy clothing. Maybe the Mishnah is just talking about regular clothing. Okay. In other words, we weren't proshit Rav Papa's question. So when Rav Papa, as far as Rav Papa's concerned, So anything that leads directly to better eating is going to be under the neder, will fall under the umbrella of the neder, but those things which are not so direct, but in other words, but will probably get you a better seat at the table and probably get you better food, Rav Papa wants to know, is that also going to be included? And the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. We are at the next Mishnah. Quick Mishnah, quick Gemara. Chol davar she'ein osen ba'ochel nefesh, makom she'maskirin kayotze ben maser. Okay, so even things that are not going to be ochel nefesh, not going to be used for food. However, if it's normal that people rent such an item, so now it would be aser, even in the limited neder. Meaning, in our opening mishnah of the parak, we learned that there are two types of neder, nedarim. There's more than two types, but in other words, we're contrasting the general neder. I'm not going to get any hana from you, and the more limited neder of I'm not going to get any Hanas Michael from you, or you're not going to get any Hanas Michael from me. Again, it can go in either direction. Okay, and what we learn now is that in the limited neder, so only those things that lead to Michael are going to be incorporated in the neder. But if he wants to borrow my clothing, by all means, he's allowed to do that. Okay, and then we just asked the question, we didn't answer. What about the clothing that is used to show off? Fine, but in other words, he could borrow my clothing. Ah, now the next Mishnah over here throws in a qualifier. And that is, what if, let's say, I'm borrowing a rake and having nothing to do with food, but it's the kind of thing where normally people pay for it, meaning it is normally the rule where you pay for it. I'll try to use the example. It's, you know, certainly debatable, but in other words, let's say I go to someone and I borrow his car. Okay, we live in a society where renting cars is normal, right? In fact, when you travel, so most of the time, normally, right, if you need to get around, so normally what's going to happen is you're going to rent a car. So let's say now that I happen to be traveling and I'm going up to New York and someone's nice enough to lend me their car. I just saved a lot of money, okay? In other words, so what the mission now is telling us is that if we're making the more defined neder of Mudar Michael, and now what happens is that he's lending me something that normally we rent. And so therefore him lending it to me now, so I just took a trip to New York. Somebody just, instead of me having to rent the car, someone was kind enough to lend me his car. I just save hundreds of dollars. You know what I'm going to do now? I go to a nice restaurant. Okay. Good. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that now will fall under the umbrella of a neder, even in the defined neder of Michael. The Gemara's quick comic, Michal de Reish Alpha Bisha Ein Maskirin. So the Gemara says, now, what does that mean? It means that if we go back to the previous Mishnah, where you the, even if people don't lend out that item, so Mantan Amar Vadabrava Rabbi Eliezer. So in the previous Mishnah, so what did we learn? That if you make the more general neder, you can't lend out the items that are normally, I'm sorry, that are not normally rented out. So who is the author of that Mishnah? So as we already established, but we're hearing it now for a second time, the first Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. I know we already said it, but now we could say it again. Meaning we have another indicator in our Mishnah that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer, meaning those things which normally people don't rent out. And so therefore, it's not a big deal that I lent it out. In other words, I'm lending something, somebody an item that people don't normally rent. Okay, how much value are we talking about? People don't normally rent such an item. Okay, that's exactly the point. Meaning the first Mishnah is telling us is that if I'm lending an item to a person, and again, it's falling under the general neder of you're not going to get a hanah from me, and normally people don't rent it out, so you can't really attach a value to it as I lent them the item. Nevertheless, the point is you can't do it because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, good. Next, one more sugya for today, right? And and hopefully all this will sound unbelievably familiar because we just tackled the sugya at the end of Ksuvos, and that is the following: Amodar namechaver shokalo shiklo and pareis chavo umachzir lo avedoso makom shenot lenaleh haschar. So tipol ana lehekdesh. Okay, so. Let's say now, once again, we have the relationship of the Madir and the Mudar, right? The Madir said, you're not going to get Hana from me, or I'm not going to get Hana from you, but let's go with the former, right? You're not going to get Hana from me. Good. And so now they have the relationship of you can't get Hana from me. And meanwhile, it's Adar and the Gizbar is coming around and he's collecting his Machitzis HaShekel. So you know what I do? So I pay for me and I pay for you. And the Mishnah says you could do that. Oh, okay. We'll get there. Right? Perfect. Perfect. We're going to get there. All this we did in Ksuvos, and this is great Chazara. That's number one. Number two, let's say, he owes somebody money. And so what do? I pay the debt. That's also you can do. And finally, number three is Machzir lo avedaso. And number three is that I can return to him his lost item. So let's work backwards because it's the easiest way, I don't know about easiest, but certainly in the last case, it's easiest to explain. Machzir lo aveda, so you're returning a lost item. So what are you doing? You're giving him mana, right? You're in violation of the neder. So obviously the answer, of course, is no. You're not violating your neder. You know what you're doing? It's called, you're doing a mitzvah. So once you're doing a mitzvah, so now there are a couple ways to say this. There's not one way to say it, but I'll say it the way the Ron's saying it. And that is that you're focusing on the mitzvah. Meaning you're not focusing on the fact that he's now going to be benefiting from you. So in other words, we have a general rule throughout Shas of mitzvos, lav lehenos nitnu, that when I'm doing a mitzvah, you can't call that hana. There are limits to that, and we'll talk about it later in the perek. But in other words, but when I'm doing a mitzvah, you can't call that hana. So when he lost an item, even though he cannot get benefit from me, and he's bound by neder not to get benefit from me, but when I'm returning the lost item to him, that's not benefit from me. Because I'm not there to provide benefit. I'm there to do a mitzvah. Hashem told me that I have to return the item to him. Good, I'm returning the item to him. Not because I want to provide for him benefit, but because I'm doing a mitzvah. Okay, and it's not going to be a violation of the neder. Good. So that's the last example. That's the one that is, quote-unquote, easiest to explain. Now you get to examples one and two of the Mishnah, and they're a little bit more challenging to explain. So number two is that I'm going to pay off his debts, and that's not considered a hana'ah. So let's hold that. In other words, let's put that one on hold, because that's going to be the Gemara's discussion. That's what we're going to be discussing for the rest of today. So let's put that one on hold. And let's go back to the first example of the Mishnah, and that is the Machitzis HaShekel. So what the Gizbar is doing is knocking door to door, right? You owe Machitzis, everyone owes Machitzis HaShekel, right? We have a Masechta dedicated to this topic. It's called Shkalim. So everyone knows, and now what happens is that, right, he comes to my door, and I say, look, I'm going to pay for me, and I'm going to pay for my neighbor. Oh, that's funny, by the way. You know, you're right. You made an neder. He can't get a benefit from you. It's like, yeah, I know, but the Mishnah tells me here in the beginning of the fourth parak of Nedarim that I could pay his Machitzis HaShekel. And that's what I'm doing. I'm paying his Machitzis HaShekel. So why? So the Ran over here explains, and we saw this back in Tzufis as well. And the reason is because machitz is a shekel. Even though every one of us owes machitz is a shekel, even if I don't pay, I am going to still be considered part of the tzibur. And the carbon tzibur is going to be offered on my behalf, even if I don't pay. The halach is that the carbon tzibur is for the community, and everyone's going to get credited with the carbon tzibur, those who pay and those who don't pay. Okay? It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting concept. Generally speaking, I mean, this is always going to be a tension in any kind of communal collection. Meaning if there's a communal collection for, you know, things like a shul, you know, a mikvah. So in other words, for the people who don't participate and don't contribute. So are they considered included? Good. I'm not even going to answer the question because it's obviously always a tension that exists. By the carbon tzibur, there's no tension. Meaning you owe the money, but even if I don't pay, I'm still going to be considered part of the carbon tzibur. So in other words, so when I'm paying for somebody else, and even if he cannot get hanah from me, but in other words, but what did I accomplish in paying his machitzis shekel? Even if I didn't pay his machitzis shekel, he's still going to get credited. So for that reason, it's not a violation of the neder when I pay for somebody who's not allowed to get hanah from me. Good. So what we've done now is we've gone over 1 and 3. Two needs that more of an explanation. We're going to explain number 2 in just a moment. And then, by the way, I read it, but let's now just go over it inside. And that is, b'makom shenot lin alam schar, so, tipol hana lehekdesh. You know, some communities have a minhag. It's a beautiful minhag. All right. Someone returned a lost item to me. Okay, good. So he did a mitzvah. I don't owe him money. But some people have the minhag of giving him money. Right. It makes a lot of sense. In other words, right? He did for you a tovah. There is a discussion to be had in Bab Metzia. There is in other words, let's say he laid out money in order to take care of my item that I lost. So then, obviously, over there, I have to reimburse him for the money that he laid out. Okay, good. That's a Bab Metzia discussion. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just simply, in other words, there are some people paid the person who went through the trouble of returning the item to me. So if that's true, and now we're talking about whether there's an Isra or not between the two. So then, under those circumstances, so you can't pay the money. What do you do with that money? Give it to tzedakah. Or the Mishnah's language is give it to Hekdesh. Okay. All right, let's go. Let's begin with the Gemara. Amah, v'ruchi ariba amahu v'sharei. So here now, what we're really going to be focusing on is number 2. I mean, also number 1 as well, but really we're focusing on number 2. And the Gemara has a term over here, v'ruchi ari. And that is what you're doing is you're chasing away the lion. Meaning that, in other words, when we're talking about benefit, so benefit in its most precise definition is where I positively benefit somebody. Here's what I'm doing for you. Actively doing something for you. Giving you food. Giving you money. Over here, what am I doing? I'm just getting that person off your back. Right? There's the lion. The lion over here in this case is your creditor. And what I'm doing is that I'm just basically I'm calling off the lions. I'm chasing the lions away. So what the Gemara describes now is that going to be falling under the category of hana? So ama avruche ariba mahu v'sharei, and under those circumstances it would be mutter. So mantan amar avoshia zudivre chananhi. So in other words, so what does that mean? It means that our Mishnah describing avruche ari, so that's going like the sheet of Hanan. Hopefully you remember, but even if you don't, so we'll be okay because the Gemara is going to remind us. So the sheet of Hanan is Avruche Ari is not considered Hana. Chasing away the lion does not fall under the category of Hana. So Rava Amar Filotema Divrei HaKol, Rava says, no, we don't have to say that. Meaning to say that our Mishnah is just going like the sheet of Hanan, I don't like that, says Rava. So rather what we're going to do is say that, no, it's Divrei HaKol. Our Mishnah is going both like Hanan and like the Chachamim of the Mishnah, right? The Chacham of that Mishnah over there in Ksuvos is the Bnei HaKohanim. Good. So with the Gabi Modarna Diayiv Amna Shelo Lifroa, and it could be that what we're going to do is that we're going to be discussing our Mishnah paying off the creditor. It's a funny creditor. Well, what is that? What do I mean, funny creditor? In other words, when the creditor lent you the money, here's what he said to you. He said, "Do me a favor. I'm lending you the money. You owe back to me. There are no terms. There's no deadline. You pay me back whenever you're ready to pay me back." Okay, that's an extraordinarily generous loan. That's what the Mishnah is describing. So now there is not going to be any terms to the loan. There's no deadline to the loan. And now the borrower, is he under any kind of stress, duress, or pressure now when given such a loan? No. In other words, he'll pay it back, and because it was a loan with no deadline. Okay, good. That kind of loan now you can pay back, and that would not be a violation of the neder, meaning because that's not a direct hana under those circumstances, because he's basically, the lender is no longer a lion, right? When there is no term to the loan, when there's no end to the loan, so now the lender is basically no longer a lion, and so that's not a vruche ari, that's not chasing the lion away. And in our Mishnah, that's what the case of our Mishnah is describing. And under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, would it be okay? Good. That's what we. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. And if our Mishnah is like that, so then our Mishnah is not just limited to the sheet of Chanan, but it can even be going like the Chachamim as well. And my Chanan, the Gemara says, okay, now a quick reminder, a quick refresher. So we did this about a month ago in Daf Yomi, a little bit more. So my Chanan did not mishalach l'medina seyam v'amad achar upines upir nasis ishto. So Chanan amar ibed esmausav v'nech l'ku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim v'amir yishav v'kama otzi v'yitol. So the husband went away. The wife now is seeking parnasa. No one's supporting her. Her husband's supposed to support her, but he went away. So what did you do? So you sponsored. So you went over and, you know, you did a wonderful thing. In other words, you sponsored that she can eat. So now, when the husband comes back, can you seek reimbursement? Yes or no? So it's a machlokus between Chanan and the Bnei Kohanim. Chanan says you can't seek reimbursement. And the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim says, no, you can seek reimbursement. And again, what is this? This is, it falls under the category of being mavriya chari. In other words, all you did was just simply push away the lion. Okay. So that's a machlokus over there. So, Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, I should have just kept reading. So, Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, Kedivrahim, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yafai Amar Chanan, Hiniach Ma'asava Karen Tzvi. Later, Tanaim argue in terms of which position is the correct position, right? Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus follows the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai follows the position of Chanan. Anyway, what comes out over here is as follows, according to Chanan. So, when you're paying somebody's debt, is that Hana'a? Chanan will say no. Therefore, can you seek reimbursement? Chanan would say, no. It's not, right? It's unbelievable. I mean, just thinking about the sheet of Chanan, it's unbelievable. Meaning it's not Hana, meaning now because of you, she's able to eat. And that's not considered Hana? Correct. In other words, because all you're doing is that you're basically, there's a chov, there's an obligation. And you're paying somebody's chov, and you're not, in other words, you weren't appointed, you weren't a shliach, you're doing it on your own. Okay, that Chanan feels that does not qualify as Hana, and therefore you cannot seek a reimbursement to it. Good. And obviously the Chachamim disagree. And now going back to our Mishnah, so this is a perfect comp, seemingly a perfect comp to our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah, what you're doing is that you're paying somebody's loan. So now can you go back and demand reimbursement? So according to Chanan, the answer would be no. According to the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, the answer would be yes. So presumably the Machlokus over here, meaning not Machlokus, our Mishnah over here is only going like the sheet of Chanan. So again, so just as a quick refresher, that's exactly what Rav Oshia says. Rav Oshia says our Mishnah is going like Chanan. And Rava says, no, our Mishnah is not limited to the sheet of Chanan. Why? Because what we're going to do is we're going to give a funny ukimta in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a loan with no terms. There's no limit. Yeah. That's why in our Mishnah you can't seek reimbursement. Okay, and then the Gemara goes over the back and forth. We saw it exactly like this in Ksuvos. Rava Amaloku Rav Oshia Dekamokim Lama Sinsen Kedivri Hakol. So as far as Rav is concerned, he likes his pshat better because now our Mishnah is not limited to the sheet of Chanan. And Rav Oshia Lo Amaka Rava Lo Yipara Mishum. I'm sorry, Gzera Lo Yipara Mishum Lipara. So why wouldn't Rav Oshia say like Rava? So it's interesting, by the way. Here's where there's a slight deviation between our sugya and the sugya in Ksuvos. Up until this point in time, word for word, it's the same sugya. Whether or not our Mishnah here in the Dharma is going like Chanan or even going like the Chachamim, word for word, it's the same sugya except for the punchline. This last punchline over here. Where in the Gemara in Ksuvos, if you recall, if you remember, why didn't Rav Oshia like the Pshat of Rava? because, now I'm giving you the Ksuvah's version, because even if it's a loan that doesn't have a limit to it, even if there's no term, still it qualifies as hana, according to the Chachamim. Why? Because let's say every time you pass an individual who lent you the money, so how do you feel? Even though there's no deadline. He didn't give you a term to the loan. But still, how do you feel every time you pass him? Obviously, you're embarrassed. In other words, that's a guy you owe your money to. So every time you pass him, you're going to feel embarrassed. And what happens now when someone pays that loan, so he alleviates that embarrassment. So according to the Chachamim, that's still going to be hana. Meaning, so just to give the ukimta in the Mishnah, that in our Mishnah here in Adarim, that's talking about a loan that doesn't have terms, even under those circumstances, the Chachamim would still argue that when someone pays it off, that's a hana. Oh, okay. That's the Gemara in Ksuvos. Over here, our Gemara says it a little bit differently. Notably, our Gemara says that why doesn't Rav Oshia say like Rava? Because even though this loan is a limitless loan with no terms to it, and en achinami, there wouldn't be hana. But in other words, but that's unusual. And most loans have terms and have a deadline. And so therefore, if we get comfortable with paying back people's loans that are unusual, certainly now it will lead to people paying back loans which are more common and more regular, which is a loan that has terms. And so therefore, why Rav Oshia doesn't like Rava's pshat is because gzeira, meaning if you allow, in this case, people to pay back the loan, people will pay back loan in other cases as well, in cases where there is a deadline, and that definitely would be hana. So it's a different answer than the one in the Gemara and Ksufas in terms of why Rav Oshia doesn't say like Rava. By the way, everything I noted, Baruch Hashem, I remembered it, and I remember the distinction. The Ran over here points it out as well. That our Gemara doesn't end the same way the Gemara in Ksuvas does, but still, it comes out to be the same point. Okay, well, here's where we're going to pause. We'll pick it up tomorrow, and let's quickly.
I have a quick question. When the neder is violated by the one who, by not the one who made the neder, who gets a penalty?
So the penalty for the violation of neder is that you violate. I mean, when you say penalty, when you mean onus, you mean punishment?
Yeah, like Reuven said, I should not get benefit from Shimon, but Shimon provides the benefit anyways. Is Shimon?
The one who did the action is going to be the violator. No, I mean if this is where it gets complicated in terms of which direction the neder is going, but basically the one providing the hana is the one who is going to be in violation of the neder.
But why would he care? I mean, he didn't do the nether. The other guy did the nether. He's okay. Just doing whatever he wants to do.
Okay, fine. All right. I'll tell you what. It's fair, but it's not a quick question. Next time we see each other, we'll talk more about it. So it's more than whatever. It's a good question. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, so where are we right now in terms of the daf? So here's what we started, the fourth parak of the Masechta. We're talking about a madir namudar. So I'm now binding you with an eder that you can't get benefit from me. So here in the first couple of Mishnayos of this fourth parak, so we went over basically the general neder that you're not going to be getting any benefit from me versus the more specific neder of you're not going to be eating from me. And so what we did in the Mishnah is go over the fine-tuned differences between the general neder and the more specific neder. And in the more specific neder, there are going to be allowances. What those allowances are, so we discussed in the Mishnah, we discussed a little bit in the Gemara as well. And even as we discussed in the Gemara, we still didn't get, there were some loose ends that were left untied in terms of what could be allowed in the case of when you're being madar machal. We also were introduced this morning to the idea of vitur, that something that normally people are mevater and normally would not charge. So, but if I now via neder said that you can't get benefit from me in the more general sense, so can you use my backyard as a cut through? Rabbi Eliezer would say no, even though that's something that normally I'm mevater, but in the case of a neder, it falls under the category of an isser hana, and therefore you can't use my backyard as a cut-through, even though everyone else is using it, and even though I don't charge for that. But still, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's including the neder, and our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Good, and the Gemara made that point not once but twice today, that our Mishnah is going like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. And finally, the last sugya that we did today, the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, is going to be that if a person is bound by neder that he can't get benefit from me, but still what I could do is I could return a lost item to him and I could pay off his debts and I can, and I could pay his machatz is a shekel debt. So I could do that for that individual, even though, via neder, he can't get benefit from me. So the returning the lost item, that's a mitzvah slav lahanis nitnu, that's easy. Not so easy, but easier. But I can, paying off his debts, how can I pay, in other words, paying off his debts, that's a relief. And meanwhile, that doesn't qualify as hana. So one of two ways we're going to say it. Either our Mishnah is found like the sheet of Hanan, who's of the position that it's avruche ari, it's just pushing off the line, and it doesn't qualify as a hana. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is that no, our Mishnah is going even like the chachamim. The chachamim say that it is in fact a hana, not in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is talking about a case where the loan doesn't have a term to it, there's no deadline, and therefore he'll pay me back when he's good and ready. And therefore for me to pay it back is not a hana because it is a, it doesn't qualify as any kind of real benefit.
Okay.